Hi, everyone. Welcome to Two Bald Guys Talking Safety. I'm Langdon DeMint.
And I'm Julian Taylor.
And welcome to our podcast.
Okay, so welcome to Two Bald Guys Talking Safety. And we're doing a mini-sode, which I'm reliably informed is a little short podcast as opposed to our normal length of podcast. Delighted. My name's Julian Taylor, I should say, first of all, and I'm delighted to be joined by my jet-lagged, follically challenged friend, Mr. Langdon DeMint.
Hola. Yes. Jet-lagged would be a... I don't feel... It's just sleep. There's no sleep. Yeah. That,
who needs sleep?
Yeah, it's... You feel fine, but you just don't sleep. It's amazing. I've never... Yeah. Never experienced this. To this extreme. It's ridiculous. So how are you?
I'm good. Yeah. I've not been near an aeroplane, so I'm feeling fresh as a daisy.
So I'm good for a while.
Good. Yeah. We'll keep this short then, so that just in case you do fall asleep on us, we'll try not to make it so boring that you do fall asleep on us. And it's that time of year again, isn't it, Langdon? We love doing special episodes for special times of the year. Halloween, Easter, Christmas,
birthdays. Nobody's birthday though.
I think mine's the next birthday. Don't forget that.
Yeah, yours is before mine. I don't recall when.
Yeah, I will remind you before the date so you don't forget.
Okay.
It's OSHA time. So
to be fair, hang on. I do need to interject.
Go.
We get very caught up in this time of year. I don't know if I'm not talking into my boom, but I'm looking at the camera here. It's always OSHA time. So let's just get that. It's just now we have a couple of updates on what we have to do for the March 2nd.
That's true.
For those deadlines. So just
if you're in the UK, subtitle. It's always HSE time. If you're in the UK, it's always OSHA time. Doesn't change. Okay, so.
Subtitle.
There are certain things that need to happen at this time of year. So we thought we'd do a quick précis of what those things are and thought mate he's pulling a face now because I used a posh word there. So
précis?
Yeah. Well, a summary. A summary. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Thank you.
So we'll do a quick summary.
Indubitably.
Of indubitably. I can't even say it. So we'll do a quick summary of some of the key things that need to happen. And I thought we could start, Langdon, by actually talking about some of the common mistakes that people make when we get to OSHA reporting or OSHA recording time.
Mm-hmm. I think that's pretty good. First off, I think we also get confused. OSHA reporting, OSHA recording.
Yes.
And then the other reporting of when a serious injury happens. I think we get kind of, I know this is, we didn't talk about this, but that's something I think we get confused
clarify.
With. So
clarify for us, Langdon.
So you report, if it is confusing, OSHA reporting. So if meaning kind of take away the deadline dates of what we're talking about, but that's still obviously a part of it. But you have to report certain death or amputation, loss of a limb, a serious injury to the eye. So there's certain things you have to report in a timely manner, like 8 hours or 24 hours, depending on
regardless.
What serious.
Yeah.
So that's reporting. Then recording. So you obviously we record all the incidents, anything past first aid. A lot of times you still might even put it just in case. And then we're talking about reporting to OSHA of your injury and illnesses. So just going ahead and like your logs. So just making sure we're understanding or trying to clarify our difference of terminology and the same terminology.
So the logs is a summary of everything for a period of time.
True that. Well, yeah, yes. I mean, there's different, but yes. That, you know, you would have thought, so you have a 300, 300A, 301. You would have thought they would have made it a little more distinguishable other than like two 300s, but then one has a letter behind it and the other is a 301. It does get a little confusing, but.
So what's again, for people who are new to this, what's the difference between those forms?
So 300A is your summary of everything. Maybe let's take a step back.
1 hour later.
301 is your basically your incident report. That's your injury, illness, incident report, if you have that for what occurs.
2 hours later.
300 is your log of multiple of those incidents, injury, illnesses.
1 eternity later.
And then 300A is a summary of those incidents.
Good. Okay. So we cleared that up. So let's get on to our common mistakes then. What are some common mistakes that people make?
Probably initially you're failing to even report. Understanding what I should report by the deadline, meaning that, you know, the I guess this year would it
March 2nd, I believe. 2nd. Yeah.
It's usually around plus or minus a couple of days. So even reporting to them, and there is some, I mean, that being said, there is some leeway. Let's don't go down that rabbit hole, but sometimes you can. But usually what do we report? And that's why I say I always err personally on what I used to have to fill them out a lot more, err on the side of you don't want to do more because you don't want to give a reason, but at the same time, for clarity's sake, you want to ensure that you're documenting everything properly. So I'd say first off, though, it is reporting or failing to even report or know what you are reporting in that timely fashion.
Any other sort of common mistakes that people make?
I dare say no, and I haven't heard it as much, but even understanding the requirements, because it last year, 24, some of the requirements for who, so you always have that establishments with 250 more employees, but then it shifted a little bit to where there's a certain exempt status of, or extreme, if you had 100 or more employees and it was in certain high risk industries, which honestly encapsulated quite a bit, they report, and then you kind of look at it where more than 10 employees, they have to actually be, they're required to keep a record of those serious work-related injuries and illnesses. So I think knowing who should report, who should not report, that's another one. And then expecting OSHA to notify you or to let me know what I'm supposed to do, that's they ain't gonna do that.
That's not gonna happen.
Not gonna happen.
Yeah.
So I'd say those are a couple more.
But they'll happily contact you when it doesn't happen.
Yeah, that's true that. And they will contact you maybe for something totally unrelated to that that you think is for that. So if they do contact you, it's probably not for that. That's the short answer.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And how do people submit?
There is a portal now. It's a lovely online system. The ITA, injury tracking application. It's ITA. I don't remember what the third word is. But you would do it through that. I think it's application. But anyway, you do it through that, and it is a little more. So you have an account. Obviously, you set it, and then you can push it through there, and then at least that helps to ensure that they're getting it in a timely fashion, not the old ways of having to type it in. But it makes it, I think we just want to make sure that at the end of the day, hopefully, and I think this has always been kind of my takeaway. Everyone gets very caught up in ensuring that they're 301 and all their information is up to date. But for most of us, if you actually break down and look at that 301, which is your injury, illness, incident report, that, for example, what we provide, what we push, our incident reports are more exhaustive, right? So it's about, again, you want to track that, but hopefully this is everything that you're already tracking, documenting, trying to learn from. You just have to report it. I mean, that's pretty the, I think that is a maybe a little subtitle or whatever you want to call it, just to bear in mind that you still have to report what you've already been hopefully keeping track of properly.
The power of Google tells me that the A does stand for application. Boom.
Yep. Yeah, I can remember things.
Yeah. And then other things to think about is how long do you need to keep those records yourself once you've submitted them to OSHA?
I say 5 years.
I am grilling you today, aren't I?
You really are. I wasn't expecting some of these because I don't have notes. My notes up in a very easily fashionable. But I will. So notes. Let's just have a little quick detour here. Paper record keeping is key, right? I think that's something that we should probably discuss. At the end of the day, I learned that a few years ago. It doesn't, not in a like slap way, but in a whatever. Paper is king. If something is written down, and what I mean by that is if we have documentation that it's been written down versus, well, Langdon and Joel said this or this, we have documentation of this, right? So it is best practice, keep it a lot longer. And a lot of that is from the illness perspective, right? We've seen so many people who have been affected by adverse conditions from industrial hygiene, you know, airborne contaminant, something that might lead to chronic diseases that have a latent onset. Let's say there was an exposure, but it was relatively minimal. We decided after a few years we were going to throw the data out or throw our records out, but the worker can tag it back because they know they went to the doctor of certain exposures, but we threw all our records of incident reports or whatnot, right? You lose that. You lose any credibility. So I think that is something worthwhile also. You know, I know you have 2 5-years, but it maintain a lot longer. That's my thoughts on that.
So we talked about what sort of organization. So 250 or more employees, but there are some exempt industries, aren't there? I believe
there are. Please don't ask me. There's a bunch.
I'm not going to ask you.
Okay.
I'm not going to ask you, but there are exempt industries. Yeah.
Yes, that is true. There's a lot. They're classified under high risk, meaning, you know, high risk for adversity or some type of incident or high risk industry. So yeah. And that's one of the more recent changes last couple of years that, you know, everyone has to over 250 employees, but then we have 100 or more that just adds some variation to some of those high risk or high hazard, I should say, industries. And that's just still maintaining some of that data that you were anyway, date, location, severity of the injury, details, still your incident report, right? That hopefully, again, you're maintaining. And I do think it's probably worth noting, not trying to pat ourselves or kind of push anything here, but utilizing something that makes it more efficient and effective, easier to maintain. And I think that's where we are in the world of, I mean, obviously there's a plethora of health and safety software tools. We work for one. There's a lot of others. But I do think it shows the importance of that because it's a lot easier to go into your system, pull it up versus I'm showing my notebook here, going through pen and paper. Yeah, I mean, it's whether you use ours, you know, obviously love for you to, or choose to look at another. I do think it's worth for any process, any organization, it's worth looking at software tools to try to help streamline that because we live in a time, whether we like it or not, computers, AI, things like that, they're here. If they go away, a lot of our businesses are going to be in trouble, not meaning ours, but in, you know, as a whole, the way our world has gone. So I do think it's worth, that's a little caveat. It's probably worth mentioning too.
Make life easier. Just make life easier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
I was just going to say on the numbers, there are various sort of levels, aren't there, in terms of who needs to report. There are certain exempt industries. There's some industries that have to report. What we will do is we'll put some links in the comments to wherever you've found us, and those will link straight through to OSHA and through to some comprehensive lists and detail around that as well to make it easy for you to work out whether you sort of sit within any of those parameters. Yeah.
No. Okay. It's probably worth also, hopefully everyone has already posted their summary. We are in the summary posting phase right now, so hopefully that's already done. That's supposed to be February through April. So hopefully that's hopefully the organizations have done that as well. So that is, again, different from what you are now reporting. That's your summary that you post in the workplace. Make sure you post it where everyone can see it in case OSHA comes. And it's, I dare say, if anybody out there gets a site inspection, one of those surprise visits or a whistleblower or anything, make sure you have some of this stuff up, because it's super easy to walk around and just see if you can see those postings. And you will be, even if you're not fined, I mean, usually you're not fined, but you will be told you need to have it. So another little tidbit there. I don't think we mentioned.
I suppose a final point as well is we talked about mistakes, and this might sound obvious, and I don't want it to be too obvious, but the need to double check the data that you do submit, isn't it, is to make sure that it's accurate data that you are submitting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's probably, I mean, that's the most important, and that's why a lot of times you see, you know, you redline something, meaning you line it out if you don't. And that, to me, that's one of those, I don't know, that's a fine line, right? You don't want to put it on there and then you have all these red lines. But just meaning if something is potentially questionable, right, go ahead and put it in there. If it skirts the line of those circumstances, that's why you would do it and then mark it out, or if it looks like it was and then it wasn't, just because you don't want to forget and not report something you should have, or not document, not document something you should have. Because it's, you know, and I think we've talked about it before, OSHA, unless it's something super serious, they typically, there is some leeway. I mean, they're not going to go out and just do all these hefty fines. I mean, sometimes they do. Not all the time. But it is very much, you know, there is some, usually some grace, unless you're just a repeat offender, and then good luck. But if you're trying, they're going to try to clarify and help through that to ensure that you get the right information, because that's what it's about. It's, and all this, the reporting, again, I just want to kind of recycle that. This is, many of you hopefully were documenting and keeping track of this anyways, because this is how we learn. This is how we get better. This is how we ensure we are keeping track of what's necessary, making, you know, putting our best foot forward for our organizations. If you remember, think of like our maturity model. It's, you know, this is compliance. That's our baseline. So that's, how can we continue to do better? And that's, I think, something worth hitting on.
Good. I don't want to squeeze any more out of this than we need to. I think it's one of those subjects where we could overdo it. So I think that's a neat summary. Thank you for your insights, Langdon. The dumb Brit knows a bit more about OSHA reporting now, which is always good. Thanks for listening, everybody. I'm going to let the smart American sign us out.
Oh, Jules, thank you so much. Smart. All of you, as you're going about your days, as you're thinking, what am I supposed to do coming up in my workplace? What do I report? What is reporting? What have I actually been reporting? Remember all those incidents that you've been keeping track of. And if you haven't been keeping track of them, time to start keeping track of them and looking back. But remember to maintain good records. Maintain a cognizance of what we should be reporting, what we should be recording, and how we can keep our workplaces healthy and safe. So as we go about our days, try to stay healthy and safe, and ultimately watch each other's back out there. Thanks, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Two Bald Guys Talking Safety. Don't forget to follow and subscribe wherever you stream your podcast, or you can visit us at evotix.com.
And if you've liked today's podcast, or you found some value from it, we'd really appreciate it if you could head over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review or a rating. It really means a lot to us. Thank you.